on a beautiful Arizona Saturday morning, broadcasting from the Tucson Convention Center for the Southern Arizona Home Builders Association Home Show. They say up your game. Get to the home show this weekend. Open today, 10 to 6. Tomorrow, 10 to 5. Free parking, Tucson Convention Center. The Saba Home Show. We're here at Rosie on the House, and if you've got a question about security or smoke alarms, which happens to be the topic of our blog we posted in our email newsletter this week, we would invite you to give us a ring because we've got an expert here that can visit through the topic with you, 1-888-767-4348. Mr. Jared Wright, owner of Techno Security, a Rosie certified security company operating pretty much statewide.
Statewide, yeah.
Yeah. Jared, tell us a little bit about yourself.
So I've been in the security industry since 2002. I was working for one of the big national companies you see out there. And like every entrepreneur, decided it was time to start it up for myself. So went into business. Techno's been around in Arizona since end of 2006. So a little over a decade in business here.
I see you at all the home shows. I see you at the home shows in Tucson. I see you at the home shows
Flagstaff.
In Flagstaff. I see you at the home shows in Phoenix.
We're everywhere. Yeah, trying to get out there. We're really focused on the Arizona market, though. We're really a local Arizona company. We don't advertise anywhere outside of Arizona. We're really focused on the Arizona homeowner.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the topic we've got in our blog today, all you need to know about smoke alarms. Talk through what's available out there.
So for the past few decades, there's primarily only been two options in the smoke detector industry. You've got your photoelectric and your ionization smoke detector. One is more so going to be looking for a smoldering fire. That's your photoelectric smoke detector. And the other is an ionization, which is more looking for an open flame when we don't have as much smoke yet. Historically, most people are picking one or the other, and they're just going to put those all over the home. You don't really know what type of fire is going to break out. So thankfully, in the last few years, most smoke detector manufacturers now have a combination unit. So it's got a photoelectric in one. Yeah, it's built into there all together. And now whether
so
you have
go,
a...
So it'll go off twice as often.
So, interesting you say that. When you have a smoke detector that is monitored, so that means if you're not home, it's going to call the fire department for you automatically. Those will only be a photoelectric because your ionization is a lot more sensitive. It's going to go off when you blow out the birthday candles and that type of thing. So, when you're home, maybe you're okay with that, being a little over-notified. But if it's going to be monitored and it's going to call the fire department for you, yeah, it's going to be the less sensitive type.
Well, the stats on deaths in home fires mm-hmm. with or without smoke alarms mandates everyone should have a smoke alarm. I mean, the difference is incredible.
You know what's interesting, Rosie, is the statistics going back to 1977 when the NFPA started taking statistics on this. The number of home fires in the United States has gone down pretty dramatically. Meanwhile, our population has increased by one third. But the percentage for deaths that are happening in fires has not improved very much. So we're doing a lot better job of preventing fires. The PSA advertisements about replacing your lint filter in the dryer and not, you know, smoking in the house maybe. But when we do have a fire, we're not doing a very good job of protecting people, reducing injuries or reducing deaths. And I have some opinions on that, but yeah, overall we're doing a way better job of preventing the fire, but once the fire's broken out, we have a little bit of work to do.
Well, starting tomorrow, October 8th, starts the National Fire Prevention Week. So that's why we opted to jump on this topic this particular week and in today's particular broadcast. So what are some of your opinions of why that is the case? Why are we facing that brutal statistic?
Yeah, that's a good question. In my opinion, I think we've got a lot of smoke detectors out there, so thankfully we're putting more into homes, which is a big improvement. But the new trend on the market, and it's something is better than nothing, is the new smart smoke detectors, and we can get into that in a bit. My opinion is this. If your home, and they say more people are going to die in a fire from the smoke than from the fire.
Yes.
We need to do a better job of notifying a third party. If you have a smart smoke detector that's going to notify you on your phone, Well, if you can't dial 911, it's not doing a whole lot for you. So, in my opinion, obviously I'm biased because I'm in the monitored business for security and fire. I want a smoke detector that, if I'm not responding, is going to call the fire department for me automatically. And that's what a monitored smoke detector is going to do for you, as opposed to just beeping away. You might be in a condition where you can't get up and get out or call 911. So I really think a monitored smoke detector that's going to call a third party, maybe an emergency contact, a neighbor, or the fire department, that, in my opinion, that's less than 1% of the homes in the United States have something that's going to be monitored smoke detector-wise.
Now, Jared, I'm not sure you're old enough to remember this, but I am. When smoke detectors first came out, you could actually call your local fire department, and they would come out and do a free check and a battery replacement for you.
Yeah, you don't see that too often anymore.
Talk about the batteries people should be using in their smoke detectors. I think this is critical.
So this is a big change in the industry. So while I was growing up and for years and years, they used to say, change your battery when you change your clocks. So we're talking twice a year. Now, you might want to look at the batteries in your smoke detector. And if it's a nickel cadmium or what are some of the other batteries out there, you might want to change them more often. So if it's a lithium ion smoke detector battery, there are a lot of smoke detector products that are coming out now that you can't even change the battery. It's called a worry-free or a hassle-free smoke detector. It's a sealed battery. You can't even change it if you want to. And these are good for about 10 years. So if you're putting a lithium ion battery in there, I don't want to say don't change your batteries, but you do not need to change them that often. Those batteries are going to be good for about 7 to 10 years. So if you've got an older nickel cadmium or any other type of battery, yeah, it might be time to upgrade that battery because it's going to last a heck of a lot longer.
Well, and then you have the smoke detector itself that starts chirping, right?
Yeah, that's always a pleasant sound.
Isn't that nice? But the thing about the lithium is they're a much slower death battery, right?
That's right, yep. So that's why when you go to, you know, Uncle Bob's house at Thanksgiving and it's beeping, and you go back at Christmas and it's still beeping. He's probably got a lithium battery in there. So it's going to give you a little bit more notification then. It just starts beeping for a few days. And if you're out of town,
that's right,
you might come back and have missed that because it died because you didn't have a lithium battery in there.
But when you put the smoke detector up, you read the instructions and it said to test it once a month.
Yeah, sure.
Without fail, every month, I'm right there.
I think
first of the month, I'm up there testing.
And Rosie, you also
alarms.
Drink your gallon of water and work out for 30 minutes every day as well?
Well, let's not go. We're talking smoke detectors, Jared. Now, I think on some of the smoke detectors, it actually is stamped on the face, test once a month.
It will, yeah. And the other nice thing about them is they'll also have the date on it. So you can see exactly when did I get this thing, how old is the battery in there. You can usually see the date the smoke detector was made, so you have a rough idea of how old it really is.
Well, and being in as many homes as I'm in, I can't tell you the number of times I'm in the house and you see the door to the smoke detector just hanging open.
Yep.
And
see it all the
and
time
it just
too.
Lives like that because it was beeping and they couldn't get it to stop beeping.
Or they just disconnected the smoke detector entirely and said, I'm done with this.
Let's talk about locations, because code has actually not recently changed, but in the last 5 or 6 years it's changed about where we're supposed to put these smoke detectors. You talked about the two different kinds, and there are actually very specific kinds that you want in different areas of your home.
You bet. So, yeah, like you were mentioning, years ago when you go into older homes, you used to see smoke detectors throughout a kitchen area. You know, if you go into new construction homes that are being built now, you're not going to see a smoke detector anywhere near the kitchen. they're just going to be beeping away as you're cooking your food. So, yeah, you typically want to have your smoke detectors placed specifically in your bedrooms and hallways to bedroom areas.
And it used to be we could set one in a hall outside all the bedrooms. Code change.
No longer.
Every
now you gotta have
bedroom.
One, every bedroom. So when you see these open floor plans in Arizona now, you'll see one in a hallway, a couple feet more down the hallway. There's a bedroom here, another one in a hallway. So, yeah, we've really changed that whole procedure to have more smoke detectors. And you really want to focus them. I would never say select one location, but if you were going to select the most important place, it would definitely be near sleeping areas.
Absolutely. That's going to be where the fire can start when you're least likely to catch it.
For sure.
Yeah. And you're most susceptible to falling victim to it.
Yep, because when you're asleep, I mean, if you're awake and you see smoke, you're probably going to be able to react to that. It's when you're sleeping, that's when the fire's gotten dangerous.
All right, so we talked about the photovoltaic and the secondary ionization. Is there a place, like, what should I put in my garage?
Well, in a garage, you're probably more going to be looking for I would do a combination smoke detector everywhere. It's just so hard to determine what type of device you're going to have. You know, if you're going to put it in the garage, I would probably recommend having the combination and a carbon monoxide detector in there as well, because now you can get into the ionization, the photovoltaic. Now you got a car running in there, so that can be a dangerous situation. You're doing some repair work on your vehicle in the garage, leave it running in there, think that there's no problem. A lot of people get it confused that the danger coming out of your tailpipe, oh, I can smell that. That's easy to notice. That's just your combustion engine burning the gas, and you're smelling that. But the actual dangerous part, the carbon monoxide leaking into the home, you're not going to smell that. So I'd get a smoke detector that has a CO detector built into it if you were going to place one in a garage.
All right. And then you say don't put them in about and around a kitchen. But that's probably one of the primary places home fires start.
So
how do you combat that?
Here's the reasoning behind that. If you're not going to have one, and when you see building code and new construction where you're not having smoke detectors anywhere near the kitchen anymore, thought process behind that is you're pretty aware of what you've just done in the kitchen. It's usually not going to self-combust. You probably don't have things in the fridge that are going to spark up. It's usually, Rosie's Thanksgiving dinner he's cooking. He knows he's done something, and it's sparked up in there. So usually you're reactive to that fire because you're right there.
I have, on occasion at my house, we have a gas cooked up. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I have to be careful not to overfill the teapot. And when I want to boil water, because it will boil to the part of extinguishing the flame, mm-hmm. but that doesn't turn the gas off.
Sure.
So, you know, I can start my morning tea, go out to the swimming pool and be brushing the pool and come back inside and have the flame out. But the other dangerous thing is having something going on in the kitchen. That has happened a couple times at our house. It's a busy house. have a dish towel or something just a little bit too close to an open flame and come back and be welcomed by, oh.
I'm smoking a little bit there.
Oh.
Yeah, I think that the reasoning behind moving it out of the kitchen is they don't want to lull people into a sense of the smoke detector is just always crying wolf. Because if it's just constantly going off, people are going to start losing faith in it. So they would rather pull it out of the kitchen and have it actually going off when there's a more likely event happening than all these false alarms. And then people are going to say, forget this thing.
We're here with Jared Wright of Technosecurity, and we'll be back talking about security systems right after this.